in reviewing some of the prophetic things that we looked at the beginning of the year, quite a number of them mentioned things about angels and stuff like that. So it was a important thing that we actually covered that so that people could get an understanding as much as you can. End of the day, I'm not an expert, but I can share what I've experienced and share what the Word of God says, so that we've got a good biblical foundation to the angelic and the angels and the angelic realm. So just looking at a few of the prophetic things that God spoke about at the beginning of the year, this is what one of the things it says: it's time to pray that the lid comes off and to call forth my angels who are waiting to start gathering and removing stumbling blocks both within and without. Call forth the gathering angels. Again, part of that process. Another thing was, this is the year that for the angels and angelic realm to be revealed to you as a church. The seraphim are coming in the force, and the kashmilim are already released and breakthrough angels of their assignments. You must embrace the angels that gather and the hunter angels you must send out to accompany you into the highways and byways. That was a prophetic word that God gave me at the beginning of the year. And when we were reviewing it, that's a lot of stuff about angels. So, okay, well, what is it about angels? Well, one of the things, in 741 AD, there was a monk, Catholic monk, I suppose, who had revelation of the angelic and knew 180-odd different angels' names. And they had some sort of judicial religious court, and they banned mentioning any angels' names other than Michael and Gabriel, who are in the Bible as names. Now that judgment, effectively, and on pain of, if you talked about any other angelic things, you would be excommunicated and put out of the church. So it was quite a strong thing, and it created fear of what was, in the early church, a very normal and natural part of Christian life. Angels were involved a lot, as we'll see. And that fear is still operating to a degree. And so, over the last probably 4 or 5 years, whenever the angelic is mentioned, it stirs up controversy. And to be honest, it's like, you know, if you read the Bible, it's all there, but we need to get an understanding and remove some of the veils that have been put over the church to actually stop us acting and behaving just like all the New Testament saints did and Jesus did. Because we want to be like Jesus. Jesus interacted with angels. Now Psalm 8:4 says, "What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you take care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God." Now in some older translations that says a little lower than angels. But the word is Elohim. And although Elohim can be translated angels, actually, it isn't anywhere else. So it says, "And you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to ruler over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet." So man is to rule over all the works of his hands, all the things he's created. Angels actually were created. And if we are a little lower than God, then angels are actually below us in the order of things. Now, in Hebrews 2:7, it says, "You have made him for a little while, lower than the angels." That is in capital letters, and it's quoting that scripture in Psalm. But it's then translating it, angels. So how does those two things work? Well, in a sense, angels are higher than unregenerate man. People who aren't Christians, angels have a station above. But angels are lower in the original creation and in recreation, when we're born again. And we'll see about that. Now, there are fallen angels, and you can read about that in Genesis 6, Jude, Ezekiel 28. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." So everything and all the angels and everything that's been created was for him and through him. But some of those thrones and dominions and rulers and authorities decided to disobey and rebel, and know what we call fallen angels. I don't believe fallen angels are demons. And we'll see why as we go through, and some of it will make more sense a bit later. But it says, Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there are forces that are operating, which are fallen angelic beings, which obviously we have a struggle against because they are assigned by Satan to oppose us. So we wrestle against them. Now, I ain't going to talk any more about the fallen side of it, because you've got hundreds of books out there on demons, but there are very few on angels. And those that are on angels aren't really very specific. So we'll look more at that tonight. There's 283 references, 107 in the Old and 176 in the New, about angels directly. Surprising, actually, more in the New Testament than the Old Testament. But there are over 1,000 references to angelic beings, creatures, angels by name in the Bible. So there's quite a lot of references. The term angel, derived from the Greek word angelos, means messenger. And the Hebrew equivalent, malak, also means messenger. And those are the two most common terms. Elohim is one that can be translated, but most of the time it isn't, because it's mostly talking about God. In general, the texts where angels appear are there to convey a message that God is wanting to send. So most of the important stuff is focused on the message, not the messenger. So there's not detailed descriptions of angels. There are in Ezekiel some, but and in Revelation there are some, but most of the time when an angel is mentioned, it's only mentioned in the fact of what he's doing. And most of the time it's bringing a message from God or doing God's work, and therefore most of it's about the work rather than the actual messenger. Because angels didn't want to be worshipped. Worship was going to God. So they didn't want to be the focus of what was going on. What they were doing was the focus. Now, of course, fallen angels are totally the opposite. They want to be worshipped. Satan wants to be worshipped. So there's a complete distinction there. Another set of terms is really used as angels in the heavens. So we would call that heavenly beings, sort of the sons of God, holy ones, heavenly host, really celestial beings were really around God's throne and in the heavenly realms. And they are involved in worship around God's throne. They compose God's army. And those terms really emphasize God. They're all about the honor and worship, the glory, grandeur, and all the acts of God. Now, there's a picture of what, if you were saying, classically, what does an angel look like? And it's like, oh, well, there's this nice guardian angel, and it's got wings, and it's sort of a bit androgynous, and it sort of means either male or female, or they look a bit odd. Now, actually, most occasions where angels are mentioned in the Bible, wings are never mentioned. It's only a few times that wings are mentioned, particularly when it's talking about the seraphim and some of the creatures. Most of the time, wings aren't really mentioned. Now, I've seen angels with wings, and I've seen angels without wings. But we have to sort of say art and stuff like that depicts angels in a particular way, which we probably have to almost try and put to the back of our mind. Now, there's a nice thing of a cherubim. You know, actually, cherubims don't look anything like that whatsoever. If you look at the description of the Bible, they are completely opposite to that. They're covers and they're, you know, you wouldn't want to mess with them. But that's the sort of thing, because what is it does? Oh, well, they're cute little things. You know, they are not cute. Angels are really powerful, created beings. And they're not cute like that. There's a picture of the throne of God. Four living creatures with different faces. Lion, ox, eagle, man around there. With six wings. You know, all sorts of stuff around the throne. It's like I've seen that, like a portal with loads of angels coming through it and around it. Seen that several times here and in other places. Heavenly portals opening up. First time I had a heavenly encounter, I actually was shown a portal opening. And then I was shown it closing. And it was closed by things in the atmosphere of the earth. That is a little angel. Not sort of well, the crown on, but actually that is what my guardian angel looks like. And I know its name, because I asked it. And it does all sorts of things. And I think there's a few people here who've got horses as angels as well. Lots of horses in heaven. Some of them have got wings. Some of them are fiery. All sorts of things. But that's what mine looks like. The other angel that's assigned to me, which is a breakthrough angel, looks a bit like that without the curly horns. It's a warrior. And it's really big and tall. You know, and I know when its presence is around. And it's fierce. You know, I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of it. But I'm glad it's on my side. Because it's assigned to protect and to guard and to work with me. So there's a fiery horse mentioned in Ezekiel and other places. I've seen things like that. And I've seen them pulling chariots. You know? Seraphim. Burning ones. It's all sorts of things. It's like hunter angels, not quite like that, but their wings are like razor blades. Because they're reapers. And they reap a harvest. And I've seen them several times. I saw them here. And when Ian Clayton was here, and I actually saw them the week before I went on my fast in August 2010, I actually saw them reaping a harvest being sent out. You know, that type of thing, colours, is very reflective of when people first see angels and first get glimpses of angels. That's the type of thing they might see, or the next sort of stuff. It's like very coloured and swirling things, and that's. So when people close their eyes sometimes and they get that sort of colours in front of their eyes, it's because it is an angelic manifestation. And there are very much colours associated with it. It's a picture of seraphim. And that is actually what seraphims are described as, having four different faces and six wings. So they're quite strange things. There's another description of it. Looks at the picture. They're pretty hot things. And fire. Another picture of it with wings and eyes all over their wings. And you sort of read some of it, it's bizarre stuff. You know, but God's such a creative God. You know, He creates all sorts of things. I mean, just look at some of the funny things He's created on earth. I'm maybe looking at some of them. Yeah. But He is extremely creative. And, you know, it goes way beyond some of our imagination sometimes. But actually, you read the Bible and it's all in there. I've seen that fiery whirlwind. Again, it's an angelic thing. That's what took Elijah up into heaven, a fiery whirlwind. Now we assume it was just a whirlwind. Actually, no, they are angelic creatures, and we've obviously had things like that here. It's like the whole wheels within wheels type of thing around the throne. Sort of pictures of it, you know, pillars of fire. Yeah, that was what followed them. Pillars of cloud and pillars of fire were the angelic presence that led the children of Israel. So see, again, we've had that here and people have stood in it. I've stood in that. I stood in that and it did stuff that would have taken ages in the natural realm of God changing me and burning things up. You know, it's not very pleasant. You get really hot. But actually, you know, it's your soul that's getting consumed in the fire. And actual, in Genesis, it talks about a fiery sword turning this way and that way. Now, it wasn't an angel was holding it. Actually, an angelic creature is a fiery sword. Moved independently of as God assigned it. Now, that's William Branham. And that picture was taken at one of his meetings. And people saw that angelic presence over him and moving around him. He had angels that ministered with him. That was before you could doctor pictures. You know, it was taken, and that was how it was printed. Several people took photos of an angelic presence. That was Patricia King's building with something that looks very much like something with wings flying over it. That, again, is on Patricia King's website. She's got pictures of things. That coloured cloud was in the room, and people, there's a lady in the front, they're taking a picture of it. And you know, there's some stuff on YouTube, I think, which has that things with clouds of coloured moving things they are one of the classes of angels. They bring glory. Again, another one. Swirling clouds that are in meetings and photographed. Things there. People were worshipping and carrying banners, and when they took the photos, they were actually of fire. Now, they weren't actually on fire. They didn't set them on fire. They didn't realize until they took the photos. And people, those were kids and people with little swirling things, like ribbon things. And these ones here are what it's like power orbs, or orbs that are things which are shown up on photos. Now, some people say, well, yeah, it's just artifacts, camera artifacts. Well, people can say that, but they're actually in front and behind that girl's dress. And there's loads of other ones like that, where it's like those were taken on photos, and they weren't seen with natural eyes, but they were picked up on digital photos. Loads of things like that one. It's another big one over worship. And there's one right over Jeremy's head. And we had a day when we took some photos, and we had them all over the room. Now, I went the next day and took, with the same conditions and the same camera, and took pictures, and there was nothing on it other than the curtains and the things. It's a whole load of them all over there, which, you know, it's Mark poking his head around the corner, saying hello. But, you know, we have those things, you know, going on. I thought I'd throw that one in. Supernatural gold, dust and gems as a prophetic statement of some of the things God is going to be doing. Manifestations of his presence. Okay. Another context for angels is really where a personal attribute of God is mentioned. Okay. Where, like at the hands of God or the eyes of the Lord or things like that. And often angels are actually what that means. Because God hasn't got a physical body. He's a spirit. You know, so when it's talking about the hands of God or the eyes of God, some of that can be attributed to angelic things, and we'll have a look at that. The hand of the Lord, Daniel 10:10, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my knees, hands and knees, and said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you, and stand upright, for I've been sent to you. That was an angel, Gabriel. But it was described as a hand touching him. No, the eyes of the Lord. That scripture about 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. Well, how does the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth? As we'll see, God sends angels out. The presence of God, Isaiah 63:9, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. So normally the presence of God, you would say, will be the Holy Spirit. But actually it says here, it's the angel of his presence. And in his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them. So sometimes the presence of God can be manifested in the presence of angels. The fear of the Lord. Exodus 23:23. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land, and I will send my terror ahead of you. So angels can bring terror. Their very presence can bring terror into the hearts of men, particularly of these guys who weren't Christians. They were people who were in opposition, and they threw them into confusion, because the angel of the Lord went out and did that ahead of the army. The word of the Lord, Zechariah 1:7. It's a really, really interesting passage. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, and he says, I saw at night, behold, a man was riding on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees, which were in the ravine, with red sorrel and white horses behind him. So you've got the word of the Lord came to the guy. Then there was a man standing on horses and other people on horses. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? And the angel who was speaking with me, so the word of the Lord was through the angel. He was speaking it to him. See, often we say, well, the word of God spoke to him. Well, God did speak to him through the angel. And then he goes on, they have this sort of conversation. He says, I will show you what these are. So the angel's interreactive. He's saying, well, who's this guy on a horse and these other people on horses? And the angel says, I'll show you. And then if you go on next verse, and the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are those whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth. So they answered the angel. So now these men on horses are now answering the angel who is asking them a question as a result of the guy asking the question. So there's a whole lot of interaction going on. So they answered the angel of the Lord, who was standing among the myrtle trees, and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth is peaceful and quiet. And then the angel of the Lord said, O Lord of hosts. So now the angel starts talking to God in this whole setup and says, how long will you have no compassion? And he goes on. Next bit. And then the Lord answered the angel. So there's a whole lot of interaction going on in this one little passage, who was speaking with me and with gracious words and comforting words. So the angel who was speaking with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. So then the angel starts telling him what to do, having heard from God as a result of the guy asking, well, what's going on? And who the men on the horses are, they weren't angels, but they were sent out by God. And there are other creatures and other things that are sent out by God. Daniel 7:10. How many angels are there? Well, it says, a stream of fire came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered to him. So there's, how many is 1,000,000? A million. So there's 1,000,000 angels ministering to him. Then there's 10,000 times 10,000. How many is that? 100,000,000. So there's 100,000,000 who rose up and stood before him, and the judge was seated, and the court was in session, and the books were opened. So there was a whole load of them. Okay, a load. Revelation 5:11 says the same thing. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Same thing. 100,000,000 and 1,000,000. Hebrews 12:22 says, rather you've come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless multitudes of angels in festal gathering. So their basic saying is countless. There's so many, actually you can't count them. So there's more than enough to go round for all of us and for all the people on the earth. There's more than enough. And in Matthew 26:53, it says, Jesus was talking, he says, do you suppose that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will immediately provide me with more than 12 legions? And that was somewhere between 70 to 80,000 of angels. So if Jesus could appeal to his Father and we are supposed to do the works that Jesus did, it would make sense that we can also appeal to the Father for angels to be involved in what we're doing. Okay, now Revelation 4 looks around the throne. There's obviously quite a few things going on there. It says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. Around the throne were 24 thrones. This was the picture we looked at earlier. Upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting. Now, some people say that they are men, redeemed people from Old and New Testament. Some people say they're angelic. There are different schools of thought, don't really matter too much. They're all clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. And then there were seven lamps of fire before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, the seven spirits of God are not God, because God's on the throne. They're seven spirits of God, creatures before the throne, described as lamps of fire. Verse 6, in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. First was like a lion, second like a calf, third like a man, and the fourth like an eagle. Weird. Each of them had six wings and were full of eyes around and within. You know, and if you look at other descriptions, they had hands under their wings, and it was like pretty weird stuff. So there's all sorts of things. Those living creatures aren't angels, they're creatures. There are other classes of being in heaven which are not just described as angels although there are lots of different varieties of angels, as we will see. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. So now this is talking about another category of things that are surrounding us, around us, a cloud. When it says Jesus will come again on the cloud, he will be coming with all those people that resemble the crowd and cloud. That's what it means. They're a cloud of witnesses. Now, those are all the saints in the Old and New Testament. They are all the people who've gone before us. They are the forerunners, and they are the people who've handed us the baton to finish the race. Always keep the best runner till last. And God has reserved the best of everyone for the last generation. So, be blessed. He sees you as the best. I'm not going to say anything more about that. These are what we call men in white linen. And all throughout the Bible, it talks about men in white linen. They're not angels. They are men. They are the people who have been born again, or Old Testament saints, who when they die, go to be with God. These are the guys that when Jesus was crucified and the graves opened, they all came out. 500 of them came out and walked around Jerusalem for a while. Freaked them right out, no doubt. If you bumped into Moses walking down the street. But then they were resurrected and went back into heaven. And they are not dead anymore. So some people, you can't talk to dead people, that's necromancy. Well, they're not dead. They're alive. And when we die, our spirit doesn't die. It actually, only our body dies, so our spirit goes back to be with the Lord. So we're not dead. So actually, you can talk to your relatives in heaven. You might not want to, but it is a possibility. And several people have been comforted by bumping into their relatives in heaven. Now, I've not gone out and searched any out. I think there's more interesting people I could go and find to talk to in heaven. But they are there. If you die before Jesus' return, then you can become one of those men in white linen. These people are turning up in meetings because they're a cloud of witnesses around us. So in that spiritual realm, these guys are operating. So in several meetings, Catherine Kuhlman turned up. Freaked people right out. She's like, it's a ghost. Well, no. It's just a materialization from that realm of a person in white linen. Just like Jesus. Ghosts don't exist. Effectively, if people die, their spirits go either to the Lord or to hell right now. So, demons. So, demons are not angels, but they are spirits who have no body. And so they're looking for a body to inhabit. And they have been in people, so they know about people, and they're what communicate with people in mediums and all that sort of stuff. But they're not ghosts. No, they're not. They've got their own body. Men in white linen. No, because they've got their own body. When Jesus was resurrected, he had a body that could be touched. These guys have got bodies that can be touched. They can come into this realm, like Jesus came into this realm, and he said, well, touch me. Touch the scars in my hands and my side. Now, you think, well, why are they getting involved? Because they are there as witnesses to be our supporters and to be involved. And they want their mantles passed on. There's a whole load of mantles of people who had great power and authority that are not being taken up. And they want to see those things passed on. So there's a lot of involvement with those right now. That isn't obviously the subject tonight, but I'll just mention it. And there's some scriptures there which talk about them, and they're right throughout the Bible, involved in Jesus' death, his resurrection. They were involved loads and loads, and that's just a few scriptures that you can have a look up. Now, I've met three of them personally, Jacob, Adam, and Enoch, and talked to them, they gave me revelation of some stuff, and it was like, I didn't go looking. Well, I did go looking for Adam because I wanted to find out something. But actually, the other two, they just sort of came and had some stuff to say. Now, also, there are the seven spirits of God before the throne. They are tutors to teach us and train us about the revelation of God. I've met all seven of those. They are individual creatures who have different colors and forms, but they have revelation to give. You know, and I, one of, part of what I'm going to do on this fast is to go and actually revisit some of the things that they said and go revisit and get some more revelation from them. But they are there to train us and tutor us. Well, why didn't God use other things? Just the Holy Spirit? Well, because he'd chosen not to. He's chosen to use angels. He didn't need to use angels, but he's chosen to create angels. He has created the seven spirits of God, and all the men in white linen are there to actually help us and support us in what we're doing. Now, I know it sounds all a bit weird, and this, but it's all in the Bible, and all the scriptures are there. Isaiah 11:2 talks about that. They can engage with us, and they can help us, both in heaven, and once we've engaged with them, they can actually help us in our own personal revelation of God. There's a spirit of the Lord, fear of the Lord, knowledge, wisdom, counsel, understanding, and strength. Seven different things. They're not the Holy Spirit. They're seven creatures who stand before the throne. And if you read in Revelation and other places, God has a purpose for them. Now, let's look at some things about angels. I'll just run through these. All the scriptures are there if anyone wants to look them up. They're intelligent and they're wise. Patient. They have to be looking after us. Meek, joyful, modest, holy, glorious, immortal, they're spiritual, they cannot die, mighty and powerful, and they're obedient. Now, those are all the angels that are around in now. The fallen ones are the opposite of most of that. They are immortal, but they're not any of the other things. They have wills. They are created beings. God created them before he created the earth. So they were created. They have spirit bodies, so they can manifest and you can touch them. Like it says in Hebrews, you might be entertaining angels unawares because they are strangers, so be careful about hospitality. So it says hospitality. So be hospitable because you may be entertaining angels, it says. And many people have picked up angels as hitchhikers. And they were in their car and they started talking to them and they disappeared. Loads of testimonies of that, of angels that appeared in that sort of way. They don't need rest. They can appear selectively. So some people can see them and some people can't in the same room. Balaam's donkey saw the angel and Balaam didn't. Elisha's servant couldn't see all the fiery chariots and stuff that were around, but Elisha could until he asked God to open up his spiritual eyes so he could see that there were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of angels all around the city. He wasn't fearful because he said there is more for us than there are for them. They can ascend and descend. We know that because they can open heaven, come down. They can speak languages and they don't have limited knowledge. They're not omniscient. They don't know everything. But those who look into the throne of God and the purposes of God, those that go holy, 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 are looking into the purposes of God. Satan was one of those who said holy, holy, holy. And he looked into the purposes of God, and what he saw, he then used for his own ends and led a third of the angels astray. So that although there are hundreds and hundreds of millions of them, a third of the angels belong in the enemy's camp. So we've got two thirds and they've only got a third. So we outnumber them 2-1, which is good. Angels are a company, says in Luke and Matthew there. They don't marry and they don't reproduce. Okay, that's angels. Angels, their sin was an individual choice. It didn't pollute the whole race because there wasn't a race. Like when Adam sinned, because of DNA, it went through everyone. Because we've all sinned through Adam. But angels, it wasn't the same. They sinned, and that was it. It was their choice. They had that power of moral choice. And there are some scriptures there you can look up after. Now, what do? They're involved in worship and obedience. Psalm 103:20, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. So that's part of what they do. They're guardians. Matthew 18:10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So they had angels assigned to them who were in heaven. Hebrews 1:14 says, Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Now you can look at that in two ways. It's those who are saved, but also those who are going to be saved have angels working on their case, assigned to them, because they're going to inherit salvation. Future tense. They are ministers. They serve. Hebrews 1:7, the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and ministers a flame of fire. Now, it says in verse 14 that they are sent out to render service for, which is different than to, isn't it? If you're serving for something rather than to something. So angels are there to serve for us. And we'll look at that again. They are messengers. So they bring communications from God. Revelation 1:1. Some of them are territorial and geographical. They have assignments that limit their where they work. Revelation 9:14 says, loose the four angels which are bound at the river Euphrates. We know in Daniel that there was those who were described as the prince of Persia and the king of Persia and the chief prince. So they had territorial things. And there are angels over nations, as there are also fallen angels that operate in this sense over nations. They were terminators. They did some pretty rough stuff. Particularly, I mean, 2 Kings 19, Michael Bright Lupton mentioned this one. One angel smote 185,000 people. So they did warfare on earth. But also, they were engaged in warfare in the heavens. Revelation 12:7. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war. So there was a scrap that went on when Satan led a third of the angels astray. There was a fight. Some people say that that's why some of the planets got blown up in that battle, because we have an asteroid belt, which actually they reckon there was another planet in our solar system. But, you know, there was stuff that went on. It was a war, you know. So there was a lot of stuff that they did. They are protectors. Psalm 91:1, which is a really good one. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, he will cover you with his feathers. Now, I don't really think God's got feathers. So it's the angels who are assigned to protect us under their wings. We can find refuge. And then it says, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They're there to protect us. Now, but most of us aren't aware. You know, I think, was it Tris the other day? Basically says, actually she stepped out in front of a car and was hoiked back out of the way. You know, with no one there. Well, that's what angels can do. One day, when we get to heaven, I think we'll be giving them some thanks for some of the scrapes they've got us out of in our lives. You know, some stuff that they're there. Now, that's without us knowing, really. When you know, and you can engage with them, they actually want to be involved practically and actively in our lives. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him, and he delivers them. So we've actually got really positive things there, that angels are involved with us. Angels interacted with man in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Loads of scriptures about that. Angel of the Lord appeared in the burning bush, Exodus 3:2. Jacob, Genesis 31:32:1, went his way and angels of God met him. And this is a really interesting one we'll look at a bit later. It says Genesis 24:40, the Lord, and this Abraham, says, the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you to make your journey successful. And you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. In really interesting statement, and we'll look at that a little bit later. Verse Exodus 14:19, the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved before them and stood behind them. So the whole thing of angels were involved in direction there. Daniel 4:13, looking in the visions in my mind. So those talk, you know, when we talk about using our imagination, you know, using our creativity in that way, this is what Daniel was doing. He was looking for the visions in his mind. You know, and those who say, well, you're just making it up. Well, actually, that's what happens. It operates in the mind. And as he lay on his bed, so you can do it in bed, for those of you who don't want to get up. It says, behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. So he was looking in visions, and an angel turned up. Actually turned up, not in the vision, but actually turned up. And it was described as a watcher angel, an angelic watcher. And there are angels who are assigned as watchers. 200 of those angels who were assigned as watchers were the ones who fell in Genesis 6. And Enoch, in the book of Enoch, it describes their names and what they did. But there are other angelic watchers who were there to watch and protect and to give revelation and information. Daniel 9, again, I was still speaking in prayer, and then the man Gabriel. Now, he was described as a man. That we know Gabriel was an angel. So he looked in that form as a man. Yeah, and then he gave him instruction and talked with him. And, oh, Daniel, I've come forth to give you insight and understanding. So anyone who says you should not receive revelation from angels, the Bible says you can. Now, what it does say is, if it contradicts the gospel, then don't receive it. In Galatians chapter 3. But it doesn't say you shouldn't receive revelation which doesn't contradict the gospel. They're there to give us instruction and to talk with us. But that whole realm mostly has been completely lost. So we've lost a whole lot of things that God would want to do and engage with because it's been blocked out and the enemy's done a good job in covering it up. Now, angels are also involved in the courts of heaven. It's not that God is sat on a throne and he just sits there and makes edicts. Actually, there's a court system that goes on, and there are different courts that some of us have been in and accessed. Psalm 88:2-1, God stands in the assembly of the representatives of God. In the midst of the magistrates or judges, he gives judgment as among the angels. So angels there are described as magistrates and judges who are around the assembly, around the throne of God. Psalm 88:89-6. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the mighty heavenly beings can be likened to the Lord? A God greatly feared and revered in the council of the holy angelic ones. So there are holy angelic things who are around the throne and are involved in making decisions. Hence 1 Kings 2:22, 19, it says, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him. So that was probably 100 million at least around him, on his right and his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said this, and the other said that. And then it goes on to say, and one said, I'll go. So there is interaction that goes on in the heavenly realms. It's not just do this and do that. There actually is discussion that takes place. Job 1:6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was among them. So there is a place where Satan still have access. That will sort of freaks a few people out. But that's why you can come and accuse the brethren day and night. In the court, in the kingdom of God. So you can come and do that. Angels, yay, it's the angelic host are going forth. Angels watch over and interact with churches. Revelation 1:20, seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. So churches have angels. Revelation 2:1, to the angel of the church. Now, I know people say, well, actually, that's talking about the elder of the church. And actually, yeah, there is a way of interpreting that way. But actually, this is in heaven, and the elder of the church wasn't in heaven. And they wrote things. So they presented things that were written, scrolls and different things. They affect the affairs of nations because they're involved in national things, particularly the bad ones. They want to control national things. And they're very much involved in a lot of the things that goes on around the world. This thing about the Prince of Persia, where it's talking about he opposed Gabriel, who was coming to bring a message to Daniel. And there was a scrap that was going on in the heavens. And Michael, chief prince, because they're described as princes. So we have a prince, chief prince over our nation. And some cities have chief princes, angels over them. Angels are involved in prayer. Revelation 5:8 says, when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So those prayers that we make, angels are involved in them coming to pass. Revelation 8:3 is another thing. Another angel came, stood at the altar, holding a golden censer. And much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that was before the throne. Now, it sounds very flowery, but angels were involved in it. They're involved in bringing answers to our prayers. And we read this scripture before, Daniel 9. Yeah. If you pray something according to the will of God, absolutely the angel will. If you're praying something that isn't right, then he won't. No. Because those prayers, God isn't going to answer prayers which are contrary to his will. Although, there is a view that if you badger him enough, he'll give you what he desires of your heart, and the consequences are on you. Not so good. So it's like, but in general, actually they're storing these prayers, waiting for it to be ready to be poured out. Because we know sometimes the timing of God is different from our timing. And I'd imagine it's like when these bowls, it says they get full, then they're ready to be accessed in that sense. In the New Testament times, angels were involved in the ministry of Jesus at his birth, at his death, in the wilderness, lots of different things. They were involved in the ministry of the church, and they can be involved in our ministries. Luke 1:19, the angel was there when the announcement was made to Mary that Jesus was going to be born. Angels came and ministered, Matthew 4:11, when Jesus was in the wilderness after he fasted for 40 days. They came and ministered to him. Now, if they can minister to Jesus, if they can come and feed prophets and bring food to them, well, then they can also come and minister to us and bring food to us. It's just we don't necessarily expect it or believe it or are in faith for it. But it's in the Bible. So you can get that word and you can meditate on that, and you can actually become in faith for God to do that through the angels. Because angels were, how is God going to feed you? He could send another Christian with a food parcel to leave on your thing, He could give you the power to multiply something if you had it to multiply, but actually he uses angels, and sometimes things that appear on people's doorsteps aren't put there by other people. God can use angels to deliver things to us. Luke 22:43, an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. That was when he was in the garden of Gethsemane. So an angel strengthened him because he was going through a really difficult thing. How many of us have ever asked an angel to strengthen us? Or asked God to send an angel to strengthen us? Well, Jesus said, I could ask for legions of angels to come. But we've sort of lost the whole way of thinking about the angelic. Well, we pray to God, and in our prayers to God, God sometimes responds with angels. But actually, if we're not in faith, God always responds to faith. And if we're not believing that, then we're not really getting the most out of what is available to us. Matthew 28:2, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. I get that picture. Can you imagine that? He rolled the stone, he sat on it. I wonder what he was there thinking. It's like waiting for him to come along. It's like, yeah, Jesus is resurrected. They're involved in the resurrection. They're also involved in his ascension as well. Jesus said in John 1:51, "Truly, truly, I say to you, and you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That's what Jesus said. Now, I don't get the impression that Jesus was going to do anything other than allowing us to do the same thing, because he wouldn't have told us to do the same things that he did. How can he expect us to do the same things that he did? John 14:12, "You will do the works that I did and greater works." If he had angels going up and down over him all the time because heaven was open, how could he expect us to do the same works if we didn't have the same resources? Wouldn't be fair. He does, yeah. And he can use angels in that process. But actually, if angels are ascending and descending on us and over us, and we're unaware of it and not able to interact with them, then we're not actually going to be hear what they've got to say or receive from them the strength or the things that they want to bring. And this is what God is wanting to do in these days. Because God is calling us to start doing the works of Jesus and greater things, we need to access the same resources that are available. Matthew 13:39, angels are going to be involved as reapers at the harvest at the end of the age. Matthew 13:49 says it will be the end of the age that angels will come forth and take the wicked from among the righteous. Notice who get taken out first. Wicked. Those of you who think that Christians are going first, doesn't say that there. I won't go on to that anymore. Luke 16:22. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels. So when people die, and you get these near-death experiences, and they see white lights and things like that, actually, you know, and I've heard stories of people who are really peaceful just before they're going to be taken home, and they are aware of the presence of angels who are ready to come and carry them away. You know, that's great, isn't it? You know, that's that. Yeah.
He told us, don't worry. He said, I'm born to live and serve Jesus. He said, Jesus just come to get me. And then he died, and his eyes shone like light bulbs.
Yeah. But angels are involved in that. And, of course, angels were very much involved in the New Testament. Acts 5:19. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison. They were in prison. An angel opened the gates. I'd want an angel to come and open the gate for me, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If I was locked up. They lead sinners to gospel workers. So they're involved in people's salvation. Hence, they are there to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. And obviously the story of that is the story of Cornelius, who had an angel. He saw a vision of an angel who appeared to him and said, go and get this guy Peter. He was over at Joppa or somewhere. And Peter, of course, sees a vision of a big sheet. He has a trance, sees a vision, and it totally changes his perspective. Because I guarantee if he hadn't seen that vision, and some guy turned up on his thing and said, right, I want you to come to the Cornelius' house, he wouldn't have gone. Because he wouldn't go into a Gentile's house. So an angel completely transformed his understanding of the gospel and took the word of God out to the nations as a result of visiting Cornelius. And it stood in his house and basically said, go and call Simon Peter. And he responded and all that lot got saved. The Holy Spirit fell on. They all started speaking in tongues, all that stuff. They also direct God's ministers. Acts 8:26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. Of course, he met the Ethiopian eunuch. Got him saved, and he took the gospel to Africa. Opened up a whole continent to the good news of Jesus because an angel said, go down to this road. Now, we need that sort of direction. You know, they had the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And yet, angels were still used to give them directions. But we're not really expecting angels to give us directions today. Well, how much are we missing? How much are we actually missing out on because God wants us to be engaged in that way? Acts 12:8. An angel said to him, "Gird yourself up, put on your sandals," and he did so. Now, he didn't know whether this is Peter, he was in prison. He didn't know whether it was an angel or a vision. He thought it was probably a vision, but actually it was real. The angel opened the gates and they walked out. But he basically said to him, "Get up, we're off." You know, how would we respond? And I don't know what he looked like. What did he look like? I don't know. Did he have wings? Was he just light? Did he have white? But he responded and he ended up getting free. And then in the same story, when Peter goes and knocks on the door, having been out of prison, the girl who opened the door basically opens the door, looks at him, shuts the door on him, goes back in and says, you know, they kept saying it's his angel. So she says Peter's out there, they say it's his angel. So did his angel look like him? Did they have an expectation that his angel would look like him? Many stories of people who, you know, heard a story of a guy who was going to preach at a big conference, got held up and actually phoned them to say he couldn't get there in time, and he turned up the day late. When he got there, he basically said, "Well, I've arrived now." He said, "Well, what do you mean you've arrived now? You spoke last night." You know, actually he spoke and brought a word and he wasn't there. So was it his angel? They obviously thought that he looked like Peter, so who knows. Acts 12:23. Those of you who think that angels only do killing stuff in the Old Testament, says an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory and he was eaten by worms and died. Now, he wasn't Christian. So, you don't want to get on the wrong side of them. Hebrews 13:2 is this scripture. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." And many people have picked up hitchhikers and things like that, and they've been angels. You know, how many people who turn up once in a blue moon, or just turn up once and they come into your meeting and you never see them again? It's like, you know, we have had a load of connection with angels over years. You know, I first saw angels in about 1990 in a worship meeting in a small room. I looked up and I just saw angels, angelic figures all around, just looking down, smiling. And I was like, woo, because I never seen anything like that before. And when we first met, and we used to meet in Braunton School, then we moved to Pilton School, there was an older guy who used to come called Paul, and he was quite nervous, and our meetings were quite wild at the time. And more so probably sometimes some of the meetings now. But he was in there and he was like, "So is this you, God? Can this be right? What was going on?" And he said this big tall bloke, you know, no wings, but big tall man in white walked in, stood next to him and said to him, "It's all right." And he looked towards his wife, looked back, and the guy had gone, disappeared. You know, it's like, you know, God does things like that. You know, I know in terms of ministry, when the whole Toronto blessing stuff was going on, a lot of children were ministering to people and seeing people healed, and they were actually talking about angels having cotton wool and putting it over, and that's what they could see, and people were getting healed. That's how they described it. But they were putting like cotton wool on people, and they could see that in the spirit. Angels were involved in bringing healing. They saw it, and most of the adults didn't. Because a lot of times kids are much more spiritually sensitive. You know, they haven't got a lot of the hang-ups that we have. But we often train them out of it. 1 Corinthians 6:3, "Do you not know we will judge angels?" So it will be our role to have an involvement in the judgment of angels in the future. Okay. How do angels manifest? Fire, light, colours. Often that is something, what I see most often when I see angels is swirling colours of light and sometimes fire. I have seen them, like, you know, sometimes we have them over in this corner. I've seen gathering angels here for a long time and they're just big, big dudes and they just stand there looking. You know, they're just really big. Well, it depends where you are. Yeah. But sometimes like that, actually there are feathers that have appeared in meetings, just floating down, you know, with no birds in the loft. They're actually just feathers. Sometimes, I know Ian Clayton says that often when angels are running round through portals, they actually drop feathers. Power orbs, some of those things that we saw. If you actually look at some of those things more closely and blow the pictures up, high definition ones, you can actually see faces and things within those orbs. Sometimes they come through that. Sometimes they are fragrances. Some of the fragrances that we have had in our room and moving in different places is because they're angels. They bring a fragrance of the presence of God with them. And you can smell their presence. And sometimes they actually smell like burning. You know, we've had burning smells within the building in just odd spots. You know, because sometimes, you know, the burning ones, seraphim, are actually burning ones. It's their name. Winds and breezes. You know, not sort of the winds that come from too much curry, that sort of stuff. But winds. Sometimes you get that little sense of something next to you. You get a feeling that someone's next to you. And you get a feeling of something brushing past you. Sometimes I'm sort of worshipping and I feel this breeze and I think Jo must be waving her flag. And actually she isn't doing it. And it's this sort of movement. Because it says in Hebrews, they are winds. Quite a lot of time you feel it. You can just feel that sense. It's an angelic presence. Angels appear in dreams and visions. You can have dreams in which angels appear to you and speak to you. You can have visions where angels appear to you and speak to you, as well as seeing them, because they manifest physically or spiritually in our midst. There's a whole load of things there. This angelic charity, Ian Clayton's obviously done a big teaching on this, so I'm not going to go into it in too much detail, but I want to put it there so you can actually see the names of the different levels of angels. If you think of the throne of God and 100 million angels over a throne of God, and there are 10 layers of angels, 3 in terms of government, and then 7, which is why as a church we've adopted that structure with 3 and 7. And those that are around the bottom are covering the throne of God, and then the layers go up to those at the top are the sort of the least in rank, if you like. There are 10, I think. They'll come up to 10. The first ones at the furthest are the Cheoth. They're the creature ones. They're the whirlwinds of fire, the chariots, the horses of fire. Those do stuff as God sends them out. They're, each one has a head angel. Metronon is their head angel. And you think, well, where do you get all this stuff from? Well, all the names of them are in the Bible, and I'll show you the scriptures for the different names, the Hebrew names of them. Actually, in Hebrew law, I'm not talking about L-A-W, but L-O-R-E, they had much more connection with the angelic realm and understood it much more than we do. And so they had a whole load of information that they interacted with the angels, and they wrote it down. So some of this stuff comes from there. Ian Clayton met with the Prince Ruling Angel over London in a couple of years ago, and he actually took him and showed him all these layers. Each layer of these has got 10 million in it. There's a lot. And if the throne of God is on the inside of us, when Jesus is Lord of our life, then that canopy is over our lives. You know, it's not just over the throne in heaven. It becomes a canopy of the angelic that's over our lives, because the throne and the kingdom is within us. That's how we can start to interact. I'm not going to go into this in any great depth. The ophanim are the spheres, the wheels within wheels. They move things around. They're involved in moving thrones and things around in the heavenly realms. So in Ezekiel 1, we talk about the throne of God, the mobile throne of God. They're involved in that. Eralim, they're the mighty ones. They're the ones who go out and do some mighty works. Kashmilim, they're the shining ones, they're the glory clouds and the coloured things that are in rooms. We see a lot of them, or I do anyway. I know Jo waves her flags around and they often appear when she does that. The seraphim, the burning ones, they're the ones who are by the throne in Isaiah 6. Malachim, the messengers, they're the messenger angels that specifically bring messages. The Elohim, They're the judges. Then there's the Ben Elohim, the sons of God. Now they are a particular class of angel that are involved in our inheritance, and they maintain our throne and our destiny for us until we come into rulership. And there's a whole lot of other stuff around there, but cherubim, covering ones, they cover the throne of God, they cover the ark, the two cherubim, in terms of the wings covering over the ark of the covenant. The Ishim, they're the warring ones, and they are the ones who do some really serious stuff. We have an angel here as a church, and he is one of those. So I've given the scriptures here for those, Ezekiel 1:5, Ezekiel 1:16. I'll just run through these because it's like you can look at it after and look the scriptures up. But there are scriptures for all of those in the Bible. And if you look at the Hebrew, they're actually use those words to describe them. The Elohim is the only one that really hasn't got it, because most of the time it's translated God, and often it's like, you know, the angel of the Lord appeared in the burning bush, and then it says God spoke. Now, was that God? Was it the angel of the Lord who was speaking? Was God? Did the angel of the Lord turn up to see, okay, is Moses going to have a look? And then a God shows up behind, because angels prepare the way. So, you know, sort of things. Cherubim, they're Ishim. So there's scriptures for all of them, and basically there's 100 million of these guys who want to be involved in what we do. They want to actively be involved. Now, there's a whole lot of other angels that are also mentioned in the Bible. Judgment, watcher, salvation, glory, guard, scroll, lion, seal, mandate, assignment angels, art angels, grace angels, holiness angels, healing, gathering, anointing, provision angels, mantle, worship, treasury, finance, fragrance, revival, portal angels, deliverance angels, warring angels, wisdom angels, pillars, commanded angels, hunter angels, reaping angels. And, you know, you can go and find all the scriptures for yourself. I'm not going to put them all up there. I've gone and found all those just by doing some research. They're all there in the Bible. Now, Job 38:4 says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" So angels were around when we were created and when the world was formed. The first creation was formed for angels. I'm not going to go into that now. But they recognize and engage with us in our destiny, because they were there when we were formed from eternity, and they were assigned to us. They administer the kingdom of God around us. So they work through us to bring God's kingdom around our lives. So they're actively involved. They release provision. They release protection. Everything they did for the prophets, Jesus, or the disciples, they can do for us. But we have to be expectant and believing that, and in faith. Otherwise, God only operates by faith. They can feed us, strengthen us, protect us, direct us, form a canopy over us. We have to welcome their involvement. And this is where it all starts to get a bit sticky, because, well, we're not supposed to worship angels. Are we supposed to speak to them? Are we supposed to, you know, what are we supposed to do with them? Well, you know, there's a whole load of scriptures I've given you and a whole load of more that talk about how important angels are. They're involved in everything. So why wouldn't they be involved in everything today? They are. We don't have any problem in believing that demons are. Or fallen angels are. Well, the principalities, the powers, the territorial spirits, they're doing all this stuff and they're blocking this and they're stopping that. And it's like books and books and books all about demons. Very few talking about angels. I think the enemy has got a good deceptive thing going. Blocking out a whole part of our inheritance and who we're supposed to work with, so that we are left doing it on our own. You know, there's so much of it that I think with the right engagement with angels will open up the realms of heaven and the kingdom of God, just like he did for Jesus and the disciples and the prophets and all the other guys. So we need to be in faith and pursue a relationship. I've got two guardian angels. I know their names and I talk to them. How many people know their guardian angels' names? Okay. Three or four? You ask them. Or you ask God to tell you. But it's like it comes through having the spiritual understanding open, like knowing how to meditate on the Word of God, knowing how to hear the voice of God, having our spiritual senses tuned so we can spiritually perceive things and practice. Yeah. You have to practice a lot as a daily thing to build up our spirit so that our spirit can start to see. Why can some people see angels and not other people? Because most of those people who can are tuned in to the spiritual realm. You know, sometimes angels just blow everyone away. I know when we had Sue Davis here. Yeah, it does. Absolutely does. Because actually, we need to be able to engage our spirit to see the spiritual realm. It's easy to say, well, it doesn't mean... Actually, it does. We're supposed to see them. We're supposed to interact with them. If we're not, then we're not tuning in. No, I'm not saying we're not tuning in, we can't hear God or anything like that. But we're not, our spirit is not in a state where it's actually operating in that way. Same thing, if people aren't operating in the heavenly realms, it's not like, oh, you terrible person. It's just actually, go and get it. Go and pursue it. Be disciplined enough to train your senses through practice to discern. To be able to see. You know, I wouldn't have been able to do it if I hadn't spent 5 years learning how to meditate in the Word of God and open my spirit up by through praying in tongues and other things to be able to interact in that realm. It's like it doesn't happen as I lay hands on you and you'll all get it. It's a discipline that you have to spiritually develop and practice so that we can be discerning of those things. And it's for everybody. You know, and it's not all, some people got it and some people, therefore they're better. It's just, no, they're probably more disciplined and they've actually pressed in for it. Yeah. You know, it's like the more you put in, the more you get out in anything in life. The more time you spend with God, the easier it is to hear His voice. The more time you spend with the Holy Spirit, the more sensitive you come to the Spirit's work. It's like that's how it happens. It's relationship. You know, I have a relationship with the angels that are around my life because I've developed it. Because I developed it with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with the Father, that opened up the heavenly realms, and therefore the angels are involved. Now, I'm not an expert, and I don't go around walking around with angels talking to them all the time, but I can engage, and I'm learning what I need to do to engage. I'm learning what I need to do to have their involvement and be in faith. You know, I can speak to them, anyone can speak to them, but you obviously have to be able to see them. Even if it's in a vision, you know, or even start by faith. You know, God always responds to faith. I have two guardian angels or whatever. The Bible says they're my protectors. Actually, well, I'm going to, in faith every morning, I'm going to pray, God, release those angels around me to protect me today. Well, I'm more likely to start engaging when I start praying like that. Because I'm expecting something to happen. I'm expecting angels to be there to meet my need. God, I've got a need. Release the angels to go and bring me provision. Well, I could say, God, will you just provide? Well, what if he wants to use an angel to provide? And I don't believe he's going to. Then he's not going to, is he? You know. So some of it is like is building a relationship and actually understanding. So if we talk to them, find out, who are they? What's their name? Because it's really important to understand names in the Bible, because names have meanings and functions. What's their mandate? What are they here to do? So if I met any of them that aren't ones I already know, I'll be asking, well, what do you want? What are you here to do? You know, it's like when I see them in the meeting, I'm asking, God, what are they doing? Often I can see them swirling around in colours and bands and big things around over people and around people lots of times. I haven't seen, I know, no, I don't bother seeing other people's angels. But I can see the angels that turn up in the room. So like when the coloured ones and the shining ones come, I can see because they're like ribbons of colour that move around. You know, when the pillars of fire come, you know, when the seraphim come with coals, I've seen them. And I've seen the gathering angels that are here waiting and waiting and waiting to gather.
We've all got these angels,
don't we? Yeah, all of us have got 100 million angels over our head. If Jesus is Lord.
I don't know how many angels
Well, but some of it is not just spiritual sight as you see things. You get impressions as well. You get feelings of what you some of just know. You know. You know. But you see it in a spiritual way because you know. You're knowing something, you know, is happens in different ways. Now, the more sensitive we become, it's like, I want to see them with my eyes open more. I can see things with my eyes closed much easier than I can with my eyes open. But I want to be able to see them with my eyes open. Because Elisha did. He could see and he opened up his servant's eyes to see. Now, I have seen things with my eyes open, but most of the time it's when they're closed. Because then I can tune everything else out and actually be focused to say, what's going on? You know, the church has an angel called Urandiel. He's about 50 feet or so tall. Some people have seen his legs going up through the thing. He has got a face of an eagle and a lion. And he stands right over this building. And he is one of the other church angels. The other church angel is a breakthrough angel. That's all he's ever said. I'm a breakthrough angel. He is a warring angel who looks like a warrior. We also have a healing pool angel who comes to stir, and that's going to increase. You know, we need to really call on that angel to be involved, because in the Bible, what happened? The angel came and stirred the waters, and people who got in the waters first got healed. Well, we don't have to get in it first. It's like we can all get in it, you know, but we need to start believing that. Personally, I've got those two angels that minister for me and to me at times and with me. You know, I know that one of that warring angel, when he is here to minister breakthrough, I have a particular sign that happens in my arm and hand. Particular feeling of heat and vibration that starts to happen when I know he's here. You know, and God said that would happen. You know, and the first time it happened, it freaked me right out. So I had my arm in the air worshipping, and all of a sudden it was like on fire, throbbing. And it's like, put my other hand up, there's nothing. And it's like, well, am I too close to the light? And I was like, because it was really, really strange. And I'm like, looking like this, and it's like, and it was one night, and I can remember, it's like, whoa. And it says, oh, I need to pray and give this stuff away. I didn't know what it was. Just that my arm was just like heavy and fiery. And just vibrating and throbbing. But then, you know, when I met this angel, God said, when he is here to minister breakthrough, you will feel that. You know, now I'm, you know, and that's when he's here to do a particular thing. So, you know, I've sort of learned some of that. Angels surround our praise. They love praise and worship. Because that's what they do round the throne all the time. It's like they're involved in that. They love it when we're doing that. And they turn up. You know, the colour and movement of flags and dance opens up portals which angelic manifestations come through. That's often when I start to see things moving. When there's movement and there's things going on in our meetings, it's like they're involved in high praise, they're involved in executing judgment and different things which we'll look at some other time. They can come through portals, they can come those power orbs, they can appear human, they can bring revelation. Their activity is activated by heavenly mandates. And what I mean by that is, sometimes you need to get a clear mandate from God to do something. And you can't do it without their involvement, and they won't get involved until you've got, like, judicial papers. Now, you get those in the courts of heaven, and some people are activated to go to different levels of courts to get things. So, like, when Daniel started praying, he started praying and stuff started happening in the heavens. Gabriel started to come to minister to him, to speak to him. And then this other angelic thing, fallen angel, Prince of Persia, starts to oppose him. 21 days. Some scrap going on for 21 days. Until Michael comes and says, right, you're going through. Now, there's a lot of activity that goes on in the heavenly realms. But unless you go there, you're not really aware of it all the time. We just get the sort of, we're under a cloud, or things are heavy, and all that sort of stuff. A lot of that's to do with atmospheres, you know, which we create. Because I want to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. That's my mandate. Well, no, because I've got a mandate and a destiny to bring heaven to earth. Now, Paul said, well, you know, it's like, I'm not sure whether I'm in the body and I'm not sure whether I should stay or go. You know, that's what he said. You know, is it better that I stay for your sake or go for mine? Well, actually, if I've got a destiny, which is to bring God's kingdom to earth, I need to access it in heaven and bring it. So, yeah, it's great. And there are places I've been in the heavenly realms which I would never want to come back from, really. But actually, I know in my heart I've got a mandate to fulfill. You know, angels manifest in this realm, and they can be heard through our natural senses, but they can also appear and speak to us through our human spirit on the inside, like voices. You know, just like God can speak to us, angels speak to us in dreams and in visions, and they can speak into our mind so we can hear, you know, in a dream and all that sort of stuff. So there's lots of different ways that angels can appear. I've got two lists there which you can look at sometimes, which are all talking about different things of how angels appear in dreams, visions. Actually, there is a whole list of scriptures which will give you some information. I'll put this up tomorrow so that people can actually download it. I know it's a lot of information, but actually I've only got one shot of it now because I'm going to be off for 3 weeks. So in a sense, I want to give you the information and then you can go and meditate on it. You can go and look up the scriptures. You can go and get it to yourself. You know, they are drawn to what reflects God, what looks like God. So the more activity of God is going in our lives, the more they want to be around us. Now, where we are displaying the glory of God, so in our lives or meetings, they want to come. You know, they long to look into this whole salvation that we've got because they haven't got salvation. It's like, you know, they look into what God has done for man and they're just like, wow. You know, they really are interested because they don't know everything and they want to see how it's going to pan out. They're quite interested. They've got characters. They're not like zombies or robots. They've got characters. So they have, you know, a lot of them have got senses of humor. Some of the things they get up to, they are really quite funny sometimes. You know, they are drawn by atmospheres around us. Colors, fragrances, sounds, frequencies that we produce. It's like if we have a bad attitude, it's like blood in the water to a shark for the demonic. They are drawn to fear, doubt, unbelief, criticism, skepticism, gossip, anything like that. They're like right around you, cheering you on and encouraging you to carry on down that route. Angels are also drawn to the presence of God around us, to good attitudes, faith, love, mercy, grace, hope, peace, joy, all those things, praise, thanksgiving, humility, they love it. When we display the character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, they're drawn to it. So it's up to us. You know, we've got to start living and producing an atmosphere that draws the positive and the negative isn't interested in. You know, which means it's down to us. Well, we can, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for that's the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You know, there's loads of scriptures like that. Have this attitude which was in Christ. You know, a whole lot there in Philippians 4 to 9 talks about how we can create an atmosphere focusing on all the positive things around us, which will draw the presence of the Holy Spirit and will draw the angelic. So angels are there to minister for us. Hebrews 1:14. Minister there means attendance as a servant to aid or offer official service. Now, I want to go just finish with this scripture, go back to this scripture in Genesis 24. The Lord, who is before whom I've walked, so Abraham had a covenant relationship with God, so he walked before the Lord, will send his angel with you to make your journey successful, and you will take a wife for my son, for my relatives, and for my father's house. Okay, so that was a statement that Abraham made. Now, you read the story, how did Abraham know an angel was going to go? Well, I was reading it, and he didn't pray and ask God to send one. I didn't read God telling him that he was going to send one. Didn't find that either. But Abraham declared a faith statement based on his covenant with God, that God would send an angel. So, what do we do to get angels involved in what we do? Yeah, we need to start speaking the words of God, the way God would speak, declaring things, not like angel get over there and do this, but actually God will release the angels today to protect me. You know, angels are released to go and bring my provision. It's like the way we speak will determine the faith that's in our heart. Because it says the mouth speaks from the overflow of that's within the heart. So we need to start speaking like God. You know, he declared that his angel was going to do something, and effectively his angel did. He went out to work with him, because what happened? Well, you read that story, you find he goes to a well, and the woman, the very right woman, turns up at exactly the right time, and no other women turn up. Why? What did the angel that went before have to do with that? Did the angel basically whisper into all the other women's ears, "We're in time to go to the well"? Did the angel whisper into Rachel's ear, "It's time to go to the well"? Was it Rachel or Rebecca? Probably Rebecca, I think it was. It's like 9/11, when the two towers came down, there was something like 15,000 people who would normally be in that building who didn't turn up that day. Because they had a feeling or a thing not to go. Angels are involved in our safety and protection, and they can plant thoughts in our head to keep us safe. It's loads and loads of stories of Christians who did not turn up to the plane or missed the plane that crashed. Loads of stories like that. Testimony after testimony that angels are involved in circumstances and engineering things so that we're safe and protected. And when we declare these sort of things, they go out there and they engineer the circumstances to fulfill the purpose. Because the purpose was, go and get a son, a wife who is from my family. And the very person turns up at exactly the right time, because an angel went. And that's what we've got to be expecting to happen in our lives. That when we have those type of faith statements, that angels are going before us to make all the lights green rather than red. You know, it's like, it's the sort of thing that he's saying, really, isn't it? It's like, we need to get to somewhere on time. Okay, God, I need all the lights green. Okay, send an angel to get them all green. It's like, you know, make it really practical. And they might think, yeah, if you need to get somewhere, you want some help and assistance. And that seems a really silly little thing. But actually, you know, I want a parking space when I go into town. I pray every time, let there be someone just going out right now, so I can go right in there, right near the bit where I put the money in the thing. Because I don't want to walk any far. Well, why not? I don't want a parking space up the other end. So I'm specific in my prayers. I haven't failed yet to find one. When I go every Monday, I go into town, go into the bank, and it's like, I get a parking space every single time because I'm expectant that something's going before to prepare the way. Well, why wouldn't I be? It's like, you know, God doesn't want me to get wet if it's raining. Why? So you don't wear an umbrella. put an umbrella. Psalm 103. This is how this works. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. So angels perform his word, and they obey the voice of his word. What is the voice of his word? Who is going to speak the voice of his word? Us. We have the right to speak the word. To speak the word of God, to speak words of faith, to speak whatever we find in the word of God, we can speak. Now when we speak the voice of his word, angels move. They operate when we start speaking that way. Angels were sent from God because of the words of men and women on earth. They're not our personal servants and slaves. It's like they're involved in the purposes of God. But actually God wants to bless me. He wants me to be blessed. To be blessed is to succeed and to excel to the highest level, to prosper. So they were, of course, they're going to be involved in that. Because that's God's covenantal blessing over my life. I need to understand covenant. And what the covenant of God means to me, the covenant of health, the covenant of peace, the covenant of blessing, I need to understand the names of God. Jehovah, my righteousness. Jehovah, my sanctification. My healer. My provider. My banner of victory. All these things go towards the voice of the word of God. Now, I can speak all those things and flip them out of my mouth really easily because I spend a whole lot of time getting an inside on me. So I meditate on those things, the names of God, the covenant blessings of God. I make statements and proclamations of the blessing of Abraham. I am entitled to the blessing of Abraham. What was Abraham blessed with? I'm entitled to it as well. I can spout that stuff all day long because I spent years getting it in my spirit. So I can live according to it. That's why I live in health, because I know that my covenant blessing is health. Therefore, everything that comes out of my mouth aligns up with the truth of God's word. Angels are the servants of God who do things for us when we speak the right faith words. Now, Joshua 1 talks about that. Be careful to do everything that's in the word, the law. Then we'll have success. And in the next verse it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Well, if it doesn't depart from our mouth, if we're speaking it all the time, what happens? We're meditating on it. We're believing it. What happens? We're going to make our way prosperous and you'll have success. Because everything we're saying is from the voice of God. Therefore, angels are active. Everything is positively active around us because we're creating an atmosphere around us of faith, of belief, everything else. Well, we're more likely to get the things of God when we believe it. Because we know God always responds by faith.
What you say is what you do.
You actually can speak Jesus. What did it say in Romans 4:17? God calls things that be not as if they are. We are also called to have that thing to speak creatively. We can call things that be not as if they are. So we can call things into being. There are people, Jeremy called jobs into being when they didn't exist. But he called forth what he wanted and the job was created that he could go into. We can do that. But how many of us even think like that? But that's what words of faith are. That's why angels will go out and engineer circumstances for us, because we're speaking out like God does, creatively and with authority and with power. So I believe that we can become the voice of his word when we start to say things like that. And angels will always respond to it. And Joshua, of course, met with that angel. There was a man standing off him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua said, well, who are you? And he said, well, I'm the captain of the Lord of the hosts. They were just going into the promised land to take this battle. Well, they had an angel who was the captain of the angel armies with them. Yippee. It's like, no wonder they were able to take Jericho down and actually take the land when they were obedient. As soon as they were disobedient, they got routed by a few in Ai. When they were obedient, God was before them, putting the terror before them. It says that. It says when they were in Jericho, it's like they heard, this is the God who opened up the Red Sea, who opened up thing. And they were frightened because the angel was going ahead of them. The great verse that sums that up in Daniel 10, verse 12. It says, I have come as a consequence and in response to your words. And this was an angel speaking to Daniel. I have come as a consequence and in a response for your words. It's the amplified version. Angels will be involved when we start speaking and having the atmosphere of faith and belief around us. We can see angels, talk to them, receive direction from them, ministry from them. Angels minister with us. We can ask God to release angels. Angels are directed by God on our behalf. Angels can talk to God on our behalf. Angels respond to our words, can answer our prayers. We can cooperate with angelic assignments, and angels cooperate with our assignments, because there's a partnership that's going on here. They're working to bring the kingdom about our lives. We don't worship them. It's like all this stuff, you know, we don't worship them. We don't pray to them. We pray to God. We don't direct them according to our will. We can start directing them when we mature as sons. And that's the whole process we talked about the other week. We become servants, bond servants, stewards, friends, lords, kings, sons. It's like when we're going to start operating with the mandates of this stuff, we're going to have to operate from a level of authority, which is a bit higher than we are right now. But we can still have all the stuff around us in this way. And it's God's desire. And That's basically it. The last bit just is just the angels mentioned at the beginning. I've given you some scriptures, the gathering angels, seraphim angels, healing angel, Kashmir angel, hunter angels, all the scriptures where they are, and you can look them up yourselves. Okay. Now, I know it's like there's a lot of stuff there, and I know it's like, well, where do we start with all that? Just start when you get up in the morning, say, thank you, God, that the angels are going before me today. And it's like, have an expectation that you are protected, and they are guarding you, and they want to be there to bring the purposes of God and activate God's kingdom around your life. It's just start there. You know, it's like, just start building up that expectation by you speaking like that. So, okay, I'm going somewhere, just like Abraham. The angel of the Lord is going, God is sending the angel before me, and he's going to make my way successful. I'm going to have a great business meeting today. I'm going to have a great meeting here today. I'm going to do this today. Actually, why? Because all the circumstances are being prepared for me. Well, why wouldn't I want that? You know, it's called the favor of God. But the favor of God doesn't just appear. Angels are involved in bringing the favor of God about by working on our behalf, changing people's minds. Why do you think Cyrus, the king, gave him all the money to go and build the temple? Well, something came and changed his mind. He wasn't a believer. It's like God engineers things for us. He's working and he uses angels for it. But we've got to start building up our understanding and faith and relationship and not be frightened of it. We don't need to be frightened of angels. Only the ones that are going to come and do some really serious business and we want to surrender to them. Gathering ones, come and get what you want out of my life. I'm going to open myself up to be removing the stumbling blocks or whatever. Seraphim ones, yeah, come and take the coal and put it to my lips or my heart. You know, because that's what they're about. You know, Isaiah was like, oh, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. I've had it. An angel comes from the altar with a tong, with a coal, and puts it on his lips. And basically, then he's like, here am I, send me. Total transformation. Same can be applied to our heart or any area of our lives. That's what the seraphim angels are being released to do. And God is releasing a whole load more in these days because our understanding is being open, because the books are being open for us. And we can actually see and be involved in this stuff and have much more effective ministries and lives. You know, because God wants to bless us. And it's like a whole area of blessing has been removed, so we don't have any access to it. Well, let's start getting hold of it. Amen? All right. Has anyone got any questions? Well, if you've got loads of questions and stuff, I'd suggest maybe you want to write them out. And then if you've got anything burning you want to ask now, then please ask. But if you want any questions, write them out and I will try and, you know, I'm not an expert. I've just met a few of them and I've researched the Word of God and I understand a little bit more. But I want everyone to be operating in this sort of way.
Can you call for an angel at any time and engage with that angel?
According to the mandate of God, yeah. I personally, if they're my guardian angels, they're there to minister for me. Now, you know. Yeah, I do, yeah. I mean, I'm doing it more. So I'm thinking more about this sort of subject. How is this interacting? What's happening? You know, so I'm trying to do that more. I'm not to the point where I don't command them to go and do things. Like, go and do this. I'm more like, God, will you send them to do that right now? You know, I might get to the point where I'm at that place where they might listen to me like that. But they certainly listen to what I'm saying all the time. Because they're there to be listening. And so if I'm actually saying the wrong things, then we wanted me to say the right things. You know? So they're active around us. And in that way, we can have an expectation, yeah, that they can, just like, I need provision. Well, there's a scripture, they brought food to the guy who was sat under the tree. Okay, I need provision. Well, God, will you release the angels to go and bring food for me? Well, I've got a picture of that. It's much easier to believe an angel is going to bring it than maybe it will just materialize out of thin air. You know, but angels do bring things to people. It's like, and they've got several, Bill Johnson brought several testimonies of things that were lost completely, and they prayed that God would bring these things that they lost, and they appeared in thin air out of them, right in front of them. And that they was basically saying that he believed angels went and found those things. A lady lost something in a hotel room and was going through a bag and realized it was lost and called out on God for that thing, and it appeared in front of her on the ironing board. Now, there's loads of things like that. Well, that's a testimony. Well, actually, I heard that testimony. Angels will do that for me. You know, I've actually prayed, God, I've lost something. Where is it? Yeah, I lost something today. You know, I lost something today, didn't know where it was. And I, God, where is it? You know, and actually the thought came straight into my head where it was. Well, did God put that thought in there? Who whispered it in my ear? Ooh, I don't really care. The thing is, I had it whispered in and I found what I was looking for. So, you know, it's just a lifestyle of engagement that it's going to be really exciting. You know, it's a whole load more coming. Think you've got 100 million angels able to move on your behalf. That's good, isn't it?